Celtics tonight continues from New Orleans. There are several arenas whose names are so ridiculous I won't say them. This is one of them. Our conversation with the head coach is brought to you by Whole Foods Market. Proud to celebrate 20 years on Fortune's 100 best companies to work for list. Now hiring all skill levels in a store near you. Search for jobs online at WFM.com/careers. We've been doing this for 5 years now. You can't tell the acoustics in here are odd and unusual because of the concrete in here. I don't know what it's going to sound like when people hear it on the radio. But can't you hear that even now as we're talking?
I can't tell. I don't really pay attention to acoustics. Believe it or not, I don't listen to the replay of our conversation.
I thought you were going to say you had a great chance to say I don't even listen to you now.
I like the authenticity of this actual conversation, and so I let other people enjoy it. So I apologize if I'm like bouncing off the walls, if you can't hear me, if there's an echo. It's just the way it goes sometimes when we're on the road.
All right, how's this for authenticity? You've given so much of your life to this game and have been involved in so many different levels. What was it like Friday to be a part of something that set the game back about 10, 20 years?
I'm assuming you're talking about the end of our game.
I am. I'm talking about most of it, not just the end.
I thought actually we played with pretty good substance defensively. We were doing some different things than we've done with some peel back switching really from the start of the game, and I thought it was really effective. Our guys did a great job of it. But hey, we're going to go through our drought scoring right now. And at the end of the day, we just have to keep guarding. And we have to keep taking great shots. You know, I don't think we can expect the 124 points that we put on the board against Washington, but we can find a great shot on every possession if we really work at it. And without a Kyrie, without a Jalen, you have to work a little harder at it, and that's just the way it goes.
Tell people what you mean when you say peel back. What's an example of it, and why?
I don't want to get too much into it because it's kind of one of those
things. So listen, this is my fault. For the record, I did wander down this rabbit hole, so we'll see where it takes us, but I'm taking a chance. I'm rolling a dice.
Generally, when people switch, they just switch. You know, a guy comes up and sets a ball screen, two guys just switch. But it's become more popular in the game in a bunch of teams at a bunch of levels is when you almost force the person to use the screen, then you switch late. And that's basically a long way of saying we peel back. You know, it's something that you don't always do. You can mix in, but it can be an effective measure. And it was good the other day because, you know, we wanted to be able to take away the three-point line off their bigs popping.
All right, you said the other day there are things you're going to take out of these games, and obviously I was joking about the quality of the game or lack thereof the other night, especially in the fourth quarter.
You said it really seriously.
I said it seriously, but as most people, you know what? It was pretty awful. I don't mind saying it, but I will say both Max and I, you kind of look harder at a situation like that to see not so much who wants to play. Everybody wants to play at some level, but in this stretch of games, to see that 7 or 8 minute run, maybe less, that Abdul Nader had, say, okay, that's an example, right, of what you're talking about is something you take out of this time.
And I think we were all skewed by the way the game ended, because for three quarters we played pretty darn well. I thought that Nader made some plays in the fourth quarter that were hustle plays, defensive hustle plays, that helped keep them at bay, keep them above a 10-point lead, keep them at a 9-point lead. Like, it kept the game where we needed the game to be to feel comfortable, especially late. That's something, and we tell our guys this all the time, especially the guys that don't play as much. Every time you're out on the court, you're leaving an impression. And that impression is something that we, as decision makers, with regard to playing time, go back to in critical moments, inevitably. And sometimes that impression is really good, and sometimes that impression is not as good. Like, if you don't take every play seriously at the end of a game that's like that, then you remember that, too. And that's one of the things I tried to point out with our team about Terry that I've always appreciated is you could throw Terry out into a lopsided men's league game in the summer, and he would still play as hard as he could every single second. And he's always been that way. And it's a hard thing to do. It kind of defies human nature in a lot of ways. But you remember that as a coach when it's time to put people in and out of the game.
All right, something different about New Orleans from the last time we saw them is Mirotić now, who obviously had the great game against you in Chicago back in December. How does he change? And we've been talking about Anthony Davis for a while, and we're going to get to Jrue Holiday, a player I just love in this league who gets no love. But how does Mirotić change what they do?
Well, I think where Alvin has always been really effective as playing with the four shooters around a roller, and Anthony Davis is one of, if not the best rollers in the league. He puts so much pressure on you. If you get above him, he spins out and lob dunks. If you play way off of him, he drives you. He can shoot it. Like, he's just ridiculous, and that draws so much attention. Mirotić and others benefit from that with more open shots. I mean, I'm sure when Mirotić gets here and realizes how much attention that Anthony draws, then he says this is a pretty good place to play. And so, like, he fits right in. I think he'll continue to get more comfortable as the season goes on. I just hope it starts after tonight. But I think adding Solomon Hill back helps, too. You know, they've been playing with smaller guards, and those smaller guards have done a great job. It just gives you one more body to throw in there, especially as you get closer to the playoffs when you start talking about guarding some of these bigger wings in the West.
It is. We're going to see Westbrook. We're going to see Lillard coming up. There's obviously tremendous guards in the Western Conference. As great as Anthony Davis has been, you can't win 50 in this shark tank of a Western Conference playoff race if Drew Holiday doesn't have the kind of year he has had. Unbelievably under the radar.
He's had an unreal year, and you said it best, and he was unreal against us in Boston. He made all those shots. He made tough shots, the pull-up three in transition, the shots off the pick and roll, the shots at the rim. You know, one of the things about Drew is he is so quick for big guys to try to keep in front, and he's so big for little guys. He posts them, and they run creative stuff. I really like what they're doing offensively. They'll cut him down the middle and post him. They'll play him off of different screening actions against bigger players and let him use his speed. Like, he is a player, and he's a guy that you have to be prepared for.
That's the head coach. You know, the end of the Butler game obviously was heartbreaking in a lot of ways today. I was actually thinking about this and you more last night watching the end of the Michigan game, because everybody's watching games a certain way, and everybody has the same reaction, and most people and fans are watching the winning team and the winning coach. When you watch a game like Michigan last night at the end, where is your brain, where is your heart when something like that happens? Is it with the winning players and the winning coach, or is it with the losing players and the losing coach?
It really is game to game. It's with whoever I know best. Yeah. When you do it for 13 years in the college level, you end up knowing a lot of people. One of the most impressive things I've seen this whole tournament is Tony Bennett's postgame.
Amazing.
And I think that that's the other part that's great about this tournament, is it really, you know, the sportsmanship and what sports is all about and the passion are all in one. And I think when you listen to Tony after that game and you listen to how he talks and what it's like to step into that arena and to risk a great season. But that's what competitors do, and that's part of it. I mean, I thought that that was a really special moment, and I thought that said a lot about him and a lot about his program through a tough day. I think we all know and we all talk about, like, sports is kind of fake adversity in a lot of ways, but there are great lessons in that, and I thought he nailed it. And so, yeah, I'm watching the winners, I'm watching the losers, I'm watching the teams that get upset. I'm watching the teams that do the upsetting. But I enjoy the tournament for all those different aspects. And I can learn a lot. Us as coaches can all learn a lot from the way that he reacted and the way that others have reacted.
College basketball may be a little healthier than people say.
College basketball is healthier than people think.
Celtics and Pelicans next on the 98.5 The Sports Hub Celtics Radio Network.